Disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah. We're gonna walk that racist line a little bit here today at Coach Dave Live. Michael Mass is gonna be joining us here in a second. Hey, call somebody. Call the ACLU or People for the American Way or BLM or whatever. Tell them to tune in and say this white supremacist Coach Dave's got a black guest coming on today. Actually, I guess Michael's not even really black. He's an Uncle Tom, so they probably wouldn't be interested in that anyway. But bear with me; it's going to be an exciting and enlightening show. I want to touch base with you a couple things here before we roll. Most of you, I assume, watched Kyle Rittenhouse last night. And Jiminy Christmas, what a evil guy he is! Complete sentences, uses good grammar, says yes sir, no sir. Wow. If that's a white supremacist, I think we need more of them, friends. I think we need more of them. And I think he did himself very, very, very well last night. And one of the reasons we have Dr. Massey on with us today is just the continual lies, the racism lies that are out there. And unfortunately, those of us who happen to have pale skin, they've backed us into a corner, and you are, I don't know if you've picked this up in the American culture, you are racist by birth in America today. If you're born white, you're a racist. If you're born black, you're not a racist. You're oppressed. And what was it George Bush called it? The soft bigotry of low expectations. It's everywhere we look today. And of course, this other dude up there in Milwaukee, that fine citizen has just let out of prison. Goes out, drives that car down through there, kills five people or whatever. Listen, friends, you're not allowed to stereotype black people as criminals, but they sure stereotype Kyle Richardson as racist without there's no evidence to it at all that he is. Listen, I would stay on this all day, but I got to move on a little bit. Hey, listen, one of our dear friends, Jane Goodwin in Maine, lost her husband on Saturday. Steve was 77 years old. He'd just gotten back from a 2-week moose hunting trip. And they listen every day. And Jane's great supporters of our ministry. And I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago when we realized that he was under attack. He's been taking all the protocol, been doing everything he could all along. Then, of course, we know the story, and I'll let Jane tell the story, or Mike Keith, who is pretty intimate on it at some point, tell the story. Once again, getting him in the hospital, locking his wife out, and pretty much doing whatever they wanted to do to him. As Polly mentioned yesterday, it's very, very important that you have one of those little, hey, Michelle, I know you're listening up there. Bring that little fingerprinter down here for me. She'll bring it down there. We have one of those measure the oxygen.
The oxygen meter.
Michelle's going to bring one down. I'll show you what they look like. And Steve's oxygen had gotten so low that when they got into the hospital, it was already bad. So, you know, he did everything right as far as, you know, taking his vitamins and all that stuff. He's 77 years old, probably overweight like most Americans are. And we just pray for Jane this morning. To lose a life partner like that certainly is it's a devastating blow. So, it happens to people out there. It's going on all the time. People are dying around us all the time. And I just wanted to know, Jane, to know that it matters to us. It matters to us. I want to remind you of December 10th coming up when the women are going to gather at Sky High. We don't have it up on the website yet, but please mark that down. Women only. and December 10th and 11th. It's a Friday night, stay all night Friday night someplace, and then be able to go home on Saturday. We've got that in there. And then I got to show you a couple things. Michael, I'll be right with you, brother. Thanks,
okay, man.
Oh, that sounded racist. I'm calling you a brother because you're a brother in the Lord, Michael. I know you understand that. I came across a new website today. I want to make all of you aware of it. Spencer, click on that real quickly if you could. Chemicalviolence.com. Folks, this is a fabulous website that you can share with all your friends. And this is nothing more than just kind of a compilation of what's going on. People getting killed by going into the hospital and the chemicals they're giving. It's story after story after story after story after story. So, Spencer, you could take a moment if you wanted to and put that link in the chat so people can see it. Then shut the chat back down. Chemicalviolence.com. Our hospitals are killing us, folks. Look, Michelle went up and got my little oxidizer, whatever this thing's called. I put my finger in it. Spence, come back to me, if you will. I put it on my middle finger, but that wouldn't look very good. So I put it on my finger, and you can watch. As soon as I put it on my finger, it starts to tell me what my oxygen level is in my blood. And mine's right now at 98, which is about where it should be. So if you would get one of these, it's very cheap, like 10 bucks or something like that, has batteries in it. Then all you have to do is if one of the members in your family is sick and you put this oxygen meter on them and it's 80, it tells you that they're having an oxygen deficiency and you need to do something about it. Whether to go out and get them some oxygen, get them some type of inhalator, something like that. So really, really easy to get, really, really cheap. Got one yesterday. One other thing, I'm not going to go there yet. I'm going to get Michael in because Michael, I never see him, haven't seen him in years, but I consider him a dear friend. I got to know Michael through Pastor James David Manning. You guys all know a long-legged Mac Daddy guy who was a dear friend of mine. For a period of time, I haven't spoken to Dr. Manning in a while. I assume we're still friends. And just like Michael, except I came across one of his rants the other day, and I thought, daggone, I got to get this guy. I got to get this guy back on the show. And so I contacted him last week, got a hold of him again. He says, yep, he's traveling today. He's in his car. That's why he's not with us by video. But he'll be hot enough through audio that you'll get a good feel for it. So Michael Massey, by the way, website, throw it up there for us if you could, Spencer, Michael-Massey.com, Michael-Massey.com, ordained minister, all-around good guy. Michael, come on in, man. Hey, Michael, what are they doing to us? We pale faces, brother. What's going on?
Well, first of all, let me say it's a pleasure to be with you again. I've thought of you many times, and it has been a while. Also, let me say that MichaelHyphenMassey.com, Michael is spelled MYCHAL-MASSIE.com. So you want to make
Spencer,
sure you spell Michael
that, correctly. Yeah, throw that in the chat as well, Spencer. Michael-Massey. I forgot to talk about the spelling. What's going on, Michael? What the heck's going on here? Hang on, Mike. George Floyd's a hero. They're making statues after him. And Kyle Richardson, who was innocent, is still being lambasted by the far left and most of Black America. Come on in.
Well, as I said in my syndicated op-ed, which is posted on my website now, I take a different view. First of all, Kyle Rittenhouse was found innocent of all of the crimes he was charged with.
White privilege, Michael. White privilege.
Despite the fact that the assistant district attorney tried underhanded machinations to tilt the jury toward the young man. But the problem comes back when we talk about what's going on. And I'm not touching the lies yet about Mr. Rittenhouse, but the problem comes back that this is able to be done because we have in this country a divide based on what is perceived to be a difference in color of skin, and that is why they are able to separate people as they do. There's only one problem with all of that, and it's as I've said before. What they leave out is black is a color; it's not a race, and race is a timed speed event, not an ethnicity or nationality. So when they're able to make melanin, the appearance of melanin, something that it's not, then the work of W.E.B. Du Bois is made simple, because they are able to prostitute a complaint and base that complaint on inequality, which is a bastardization of the word of God, and then say, you people are the oppressors. But what they miss, and stay with me, what they miss in what I've just said and what they're prostituting is that black people, or those that they say are black, the Africans didn't get here by themselves, and they did not get here because of Americans. They got here because on the Ivory Coast of Africa, the Ashanti and the Dahomey tribes, which are modern-day Ghana and Benin, were fierce warriors. They were trapping other Africans, catching other Africans as a means of economy, and selling them to Muslims and Portuguese, who then sold them in other places around the world. What they also leave out in their history, which is typical Marx, is that these racism and slavery. And I it pains me to use the word racism, so I'm going to say prejudice and slavery were part of civilization since shortly after the Garden. It's not, but somehow America has become this evil, juggernaut that goes about the world imposing harm on everyone that they come across. Well, what's missed in that lie is that America is just what, 200 years old, give or take. Mm-hmm. So when you stop and divorce yourself from stupidity, when you stop and think for yourself, juxtaposed to sitting and listening to idiocy, you can then start to think, well, wait a minute, something's not right here. But if you have schools that have successfully brought learning to the point of being nothing more than punch a button to turn the computer on, punch a button to turn it off, and oh, by the way, just Google it. Well, if that is your means of education, you are not only not educated, you are spectacularly uneducated,
miseducated,
and they thrive on that. And with that, you have a people, and this is where, again, well, I get in trouble the first time I open my mouth, but you have a people who have been so successfully brainwashed that they place all value, all substance, all meaning, all self-esteem, everything of value is based upon them being a color, which is laughable on its face because they're not a color. They simply have more melanin closer to the skin than, say, Coach Dave. But somehow, when you point that out, and I tell people, I'm not black. I sure as heck am not an African American. My people have been, I mean, my ancestors at this point, we're back at 1671, and we're still going back further. But my ancestors, I mean, look, 400 years later, I ain't no African. I'm an American. And being an African was a nationality, but it was not a color. And even there, they get it wrong. But that's a level of understanding and emotional and psychological and spiritual freedom that Satan does not want. So we go back to W.E.B. Du Bois, and people might be saying, well, wait a minute, how does this have to do with Kyle Rittenhouse? Well, I'm coming to that, so just stay with me. But we go to W.E.B. Du Bois, and he and Vladimir Lenin and W.E.B. Du Bois, at the beginning of the 20th century, essentially fell in love Lenin fell in love with Du Bois' hatred and his gluttony, Du Bois' appetite for communism, and Du Bois fell in love with Lenin because Lenin preached hatred and a variant form of equality that fit his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Du Bois said it was his idea to call the slaves, the former slaves, a colored people, because in so doing, that would allow them to reach said colored people around the world to bring them into communism. And it has worked. Now, I'm leaving out a chunk. Actually, I'm leaving out almost a century, a century and change. So fast forward to where we are today. The idea that it's not enough to be an American, it's not enough to be whatever nationality you were when you were living there, or if you emigrate, you're holding the dual citizenship. It's not enough for any of that. You now have everything being valued on color. And when you have that, Kyle Rittenhouse, it wasn't fair that he got off. I saw something last night or this morning, the confluence of time and my sleep patterns, but I saw something about it was his money that got him off. Well, it wasn't his money. The money was raised in support of him. And quite frankly, the party's funding his legal bill and so forth, they did exactly what these left-wing idiocrats do, and that is they used his case to support their complaint and raised money on it.
They do it all the time. Somehow, the left does it all the time.
Yeah, and somehow that became evil with the idea when Mr. Rittenhouse did it, but it's not when they do it. I've always said these things, and I'm jumping back a moment. George Floyd, my feelings are on George Floyd. My Bible tells me that the exact moment, the exact instant of our death is known to the Lord before we're born. The The hairs on our head, the Bible tells us, are numbered. Our
not
days
not
are
counted,
numbered.
Michael. Not counted, numbered. He knows one from two from four. They're numbered.
George Floyd was always going to die that day. He had say-so in how it happened, I believe. And he chose to behave himself, to comport himself in a way that put him in a situation that cost him his life. Those young men that Mr. Rittenhouse wounded and sent to see their maker, they didn't have to die that way. That I mean, they pretty much determined how this was all going to happen. Had they been behaving themselves, had they been doing things for the community instead of terrorizing the community, they would still be alive. And to make this a black-white thing is just irresponsible, but that is what sells. That is what breeds the hatred and what the American people, what the world, but certainly the American people are not paying attention to is to the extent that they are being duped into believing something that's a lie. And that's where I separate this morning on my syndicated column, which I have a copy of on my website, michael-massey.com. But it's Biden that's getting away with murder, not Rittenhouse.
Okay, so let me ask you two questions, and I want to open it up because I know our listeners want to ask as well. Number one, Michael, how did we get from Martin Luther King wanting his children to be judged by the content of their character rather than their color of their skin? Question number one, how did we get from there to here? And number two, Michael, is there, maybe I'm wrong, is there any country in the world where black men can be as highly successful and rich as they are in the United States of America?
Well, to answer your first question, the second part of your question first, that's a specious argument today. And the argument itself, presents a bastardization of reality that leads to false opinions and inferiority thinking. The answer is people can be successful anywhere in the world, well, with the exception of maybe Afghanistan or Iraq or North Korea. And even then, if they, with caveat, people can be successful. What we have in America that has represented the intent of our founding fathers so well is that we had opportunity. There has always been opportunity. Keep in mind, Pelican Publishing had me write the foreword, actually the first ever foreword for Up From Slavery by Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington, two things. He said he praised the God of Providence, and he praised Providence for bringing the current individuals that were slaves to America. He thanked them for bringing Providence for coming to America, because had they stayed in Africa, there was no hope. But in America, they had opportunity. They had not just opportunity, but they were able to get educations and do business and so forth. This is out of the mouth of Booker T. Washington. He also said he would never allow a man to make him hate him. Now, that's quite a biblical thought. But then you come back to Martin Luther King, what we lose sight of with Dr. King is that Dr. King did not end Jim Crow or segregation. Dr. King brought the injustice of this vile Democrat policy to the attention of the world, and the people of good conscience in America said enough is enough. And it just so turns out that many of the people that said that were what they called the white people. The mm-hmm. problem with that is, and we need to parse that down further, is that there were Marxists that were opposed to it, but they were opposed to it for reasons of altruism. They were opposed to it because by making these others think they were able to shade their real intentions, and their real intentions were to continue to foster hate and division.
Okay, Mike. So Mike, let me ask this. Go ahead, man.
If I can finish with Dr. King.
Sure.
Dr. King made a very, he stated the fact. But what people lose sight of with Dr. King, when we say, how did we get from there to here? Again, people have an incomplete history. The people forget or did not know that at the time of Dr. King's death, he was actually preparing to get rid of Jesse Jackson, because Jesse Jackson was dishonest and trying to lead division in a way that Dr. King did not agree with. So he was trying to get rid of Jesse Jackson at the time that Dr. King lost his life. The other thing we miss is what the Black Panthers and the various militant groups were treating Dr. King. Dr. King was treated fiercely with fierce threat to his physical being in Chicago, not by the people they called white, but by the members of the militant subgroups that were there. He feared the same with Detroit. They threatened him. So when you say, how do you get from here to there? What we look at is that America and whatever Lyndon Johnson truly believed, he went to the Republican side of the aisle. Everett Dirksen led the charge, and we had Jim Crow. My complaint is this. We ended Jim Crow. We never needed a civil rights bill or a civil rights act or a voting rights act. We never needed those things. What we needed was to obey the Constitution, mm-hmm. pure, sweet, and simple. But when you have politicians get involved, politicians are like monkeys with a hand grenade. You give a monkey a hand grenade, and any military person knows this. You give a monkey a hand grenade and give that bad boy enough time, he'll blow himself up and whatever's around him. He'll figure out how to pull the pin.
Amen.
Well, that's a
Amen.
Politician. A politician's first thing is, we have to do something. No, you don't.
Stop doing
stuff. The moment they brought the focus again, they just took it and turned it on its ear, which should not have been. And people say, well, you wouldn't be free. What do you mean I wouldn't be free? I was born free. What are you talking about? Well, you wouldn't be able to just, no. You get it all wrong. My family owned property. My family read and write. 1956, when Rosa Parks was being thrown off the bus because she was tired and sat in front of the bus, I was riding down. I was riding up West 3rd Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in the very first seat of the bus with a white nanny. I didn't know she was white, blue, purple, or whatever.
It didn't matter to her what I was. She was my nanny. And I went to school. I didn't go through all of those mechanisms, that type of behavior, that type of hateful living conditions. I didn't go through that growing up. I didn't experience that despite my age. So to say that, to make this a blanket statement is a lie. To say that you're not even black if you don't know or believe or say this, well, that's stupid, because here's another biological fact. Every person in America, I'm going to use America, it's actually the world, but every person in America is the same color. Dave, you and I are the exact same color. The difference is I have more melanin closer to the surface of my skin than you do. Biologically, we are the exact same color. You're not a separate species, and neither are we.
Amen. Amen. Michael, let me get some of these folks in here that want to ask you a question. Just Jeff, bring you in here in a second. Then Clay, Michael, here's the real issue, and one of the reasons why I want brought you in. So I just want to preface this as we go to the phone calls. Whitey's been so beat down, Michael. We don't have any idea how to bridge this black white gap. And then along that same line, Michael, we still see everywhere we look. I'll just say the truth. I have deep untrust of the black pulpit. And I would imagine black men have deep untrust of the white pulpit. How did our pulpit get so poisoned?
I'll have to stop and think about that. But I believe, and I'll say this, I safely believe you're the first that's voiced that in this way. The problem is, we are not obedient to the word of God. God is not a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. The Bible, the Word of God, and Christianity have been infiltrated by ideology.
Yes, sir.
They've been infiltrated by a complaint of immiseration. And then with that comes the need. For the church to do something. Well, the problem with that is they're not doing what the church was told to do.
Neither color, right, brother?
The problem is that we're not colors. Colors are in the 64 pack of Crayola crayons. We are a people. We are a people. Amen. And until we see that, well, that's not possible. I've got something to tell you. In the Word of God, there's no such thing as impossible.
Amen.
It's not there.
Friends, this is Coach Dave Dobner with Michael-Massey.com. Michael Massey, by the way, ordained minister. We got some folks want to ask you a question. Clay, come on in, then Jeff. Go ahead, and then Larry. Go ahead, Clay. You're on with Michael Massey.
Well, I was. I've always, for a good while now, I've had this thought that Black History Month was instituted more to continue a line of division and maintain segregation than it was to recognize the accomplishments of blacks. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that, because it just seems like they're just trying to maintain division between races.
Amen. Michael?
Well, Black History Month was first
invented. It wasn't even Black History Month. It was Black History Week, and it was brought into being to recognize the accomplishments of those that were former slaves, and that became Carter Woodson, who is the founder of what was Black History Week, wanted the nation to recognize the accomplishments of the former slaves, and with that, this week of understanding and recognition was started. This has been serially misrepresented, bastardized, turned upside down on its head to become a month-long period of absolute, complete, abject, undeniable stupidity. I remember seeing Negroes dressed up in dashikis trying to imitate African attire that people in Africa aren't wearing. Walking
too
around
many,
here.
Too many Tarzan movies, huh?
Like this is the way we dress. Stupid, you were born in America. You weren't born in Swahili land. Get over it. Again, when we remove God from this equation, it becomes easy because you have people on both sides of the divide. The problem is both groups of people are wrong because, as the Coach Dave said, I'm an ordained minister. Well, he's got it. Dave has that wrong in context.
Amen.
I am a born again child of God who was called to be a minister.
Stop,
amen, brother. Again, amen. I am a born again child of God first. I'm not just an ordained minister. The amen, one brother. Doesn't come before the other. And when we speak that out of context, we minimize God. No, I don't. No. Yes, you do. And I say, no, I don't in general, meaning you in general. But when we talk that way, we don't realize, as it says in Proverbs, and Jesus himself said in Matthew, the power of life and death are in the tongue. Words and a church. I have all the young people who get a kick out of it because I say, "What do I always say?" And they sing out in unison, "Words have meaning." Mm. Well, words have meaning. This is where the enemy has again been so successful. I am viewed as a lunatic. I'm an Uncle Tom, a house nigger. I'm viewed as all those things. I don't care. They can call me what they want. They can label me what they want. My life doesn't depend on whether they like me or hate me.
Amen.
And not only that, more importantly, where I spend eternity doesn't depend on what they think. It depends on what I have done. And what I have done is accepted Christ as my Savior. And with that, I was called to preach the word, preach the word. So I come back to when we talk about the white people in the black community, and I advocate for a colorblind society, Dave, as you know, we must get beyond focused on that and come back to the word of God, because when we come back to the word of God, we are free of that.
Amen.
And if we are Christians, if we are true Christians, which is
We identify the name of Christ in our acceptance of Him as our Savior, then the words that we use matter in terms of representation or recognition of. In America, it says we have e pluribus unum. Out of many, one. That's not out of many. 15 different thousand hyphenations. I mean, it's not bad enough you got African American. Ain't no African American in America unless they just got off the boat.
Michael, let me get some folks in here. Jeff in Nevada. Come on in, Jeff. Then Larry in South Carolina. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, great guess right there. I wonder if you agree with this. In 1967, my mother, being a staunch Democrat, took us to northern Chicago. I live in Illinois and California, Democrat-dominated states. And we went into a black neighborhood, and I got the impression of victimhood. And the way it was designed is they're
good question, Jeff. Good question. Right. Victimhood, Michael. Isn't that being preached in the black community?
I think the gentleman was going on to discuss the design, and you got to cut off a little short. So if I'm not doing justice to your question, forgive me, but I didn't hear all of what you're going to say. But let me say this. If I understand where you were going, what you experienced was a level of devalue, self devalue, into being victims, not being achievers. Not taking advantage of opportunity. And the myth is the black man doesn't have opportunity in America. Well, that's a crock. My mama had to work two jobs to support me and my brothers. Well, your mama should have kept her legs closed and her panties on instead of getting pregnant before she could afford a Pepsi Cola or a pizza. Don't blame America. Blame your mama for not being a proper adult and comporting herself as something other than a sperm bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what you hear when you say that to a group of those kind of people. I get tired of hearing that complaint because your mama didn't. First of all, your mama was supposed to take care of you after she irresponsibly had you. But this idea that you're a victim because you were poor is nonsense. You're poor because you didn't have a plan for not being poor.
Good point. That's right.
And you're poor and you're miserable because you have succumbed to the lie that there's a group of people out there who want to use you and abuse you. And
yeah,
they hate you.
They're scheming around
the clock. They wake up thinking about what they can do to abuse you and hold you down, and they go to bed the same way. These are lies. And I've coined the phrase, the assignation, neo-Leninist, the new Leninist, which is a propagation of Marxism and American idealism coming in from the Democrat liberals. But what we have with that is the refusal to take personal responsibility for their lives.
Look, Larry in South Carolina, come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, something you said earlier just kind of flipped in my brain, and I said, wow, I didn't ever see that before. You talked about, you know, race being a time event. Biology, I took biology in high school, and I even passed it. And I never, in any other animal or plant group or anything, and no other group have I ever seen the designation of race. It's always species.
Exactly. I mean, a horse is still a horse. It doesn't matter if it's a Pinto, a Palomino, or a Kentucky Walking Horse. It doesn't matter if it's a Budweiser pony. And I shouldn't say Pepsi, and I shouldn't say Budweiser, because they're not paying Coach Dave to have their name used. yeah, that's the capitalist in me. But it could be the beer pony. It doesn't matter. It's still a horse. But in humans, if you have more melanin closer to the skin, that makes you a separate species. Well, the ignorance of that, and ignorance is as defined as not knowing, not understanding. The ignorance of that, people don't even think about it. They don't. This gentleman so positively spoke when he said, "I never thought of it."
So, Michael, stay with me here a second. Remember this: horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse. Of course,
I never liked Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed. Go ahead.
There's a whole lot of Mr. Ed's rear quarters walking around now.
Yeah, there sure is. Hey, Myra, come on in. Myra in Maryland, come on in. I think. Come on.
Good morning, Saints. How are you?
Good.
Michael, welcome to Coach Dave's huddle. And I Thank just want to read. You're welcome. I want to read Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Myra. Michael, help us here, okay? We got about 10 minutes left, a little over 10 minutes left.
I'd like to stay around. I'd like to stay around this morning. You got me on a roll. I'd like to stay around with you. Yeah, I could call you a racist, Dave.
Yeah,
you don't talk to me for 10 years.
Yeah, well,
and then you call me up
too.
Out of the clear blue sky. You say you're going to have me on. It takes 7 months to have me on. And then when I get on, you tell me I only got 5 minutes.
All right, Michael, listen. I'm sorry, Mr. Blackman. I'm sorry, Mr. Blackman. I've so mistreated you. I'm sorry, Mr. Blackman. I'm sorry, Mr. Blackman.
No. Do not go insulting me with that. I'm saying you're not a man of your word, and you forget who your friends are. Forget to say, I ain't going. I'm saying it's your word.
Hey, be careful, Massey. This will be your last visit here. Mark, come on in. Mark.
I've got the power of the pen, bro.
Go ahead, Mark.
Michael, I want your thoughts on this.
Is your name, please?
His name's Mark.
Mark,
okay.
It seems like there's long been an epidemic in our country of people with more melatonin closer to their skin of divided
it's
families.
Melatonin. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, melatonin closer. I've long kind of been a proponent that people that were enslaved a long time ago, their masters kind of divided up their families, and there's a generational curse that has passed down, and the families are still divided today. What role do you feel that plays in acknowledging that curse exists and trying to break it? I just want your thoughts on that.
I don't ascribe anything to that. And what I do, if I brought up what I do think, it would take us another week to openly discuss it. And that's not joking. It would take us every bit that long to openly discuss it. What I think. Let me correct myself. I do not put anything to this. Look, slavery has been a part of the world, as I said, since forever.
Yep.
Every population group, every nationality were slaves at one point or another in some form or another. America, the Africans were brought here. They were sold. Sometimes entire families were bought, other times they were not. But keep in mind where the truth lies in this. The people that were buying slaves had in the South. Most of the families that had slaves had somewhere between 3 and 6 slaves, if that. That's all they could afford. Slavery has become this mythical industry where every plantation had hundreds of slaves, and it wasn't like that. And the families were separated. Some of that had to do with a parent dying on the way here, or a parent being killed by another person on the way here, and the child coming and then selling them. Some of that had to do with mercantile. They sold the child because they needed this or that or the other, but they needed the money or whatever. But to the extent that that was rampant, I don't find that. Did it happen? Yes. But to the way it is set forth today is that this was a rampant policy that children were just sent off here and sent off there. Look, you've got more children that are identified with hyphens in front of their name being sent off to their grandparents, to orphanages, to aunts, uncles, cousins, than you've got that were separated because they were part of a slave group.
Okay, Michael, let the host jump back in here a second. We got about 8 minutes. Now I want to give you a chance after I'm going to tell a little story here, Michael. Then I want you to close after I tell this situation in my life. Michael, we need to know, what is it we can do as a Christian brother who happens to have more color to your skin than me? How does Whitey bridge the gap, brother? We're not racist. Hang on, though. That's not what I ask you. Because I think, folks, one of the things we really, really miss in this whole thing is I don't know if there's a poorer set of people in the world than those who grew up in Appalachia. And, you know, my heritage is, as I've said before, Melungeon, poor, poor hillbillies in West Virginia and Kentucky. And maybe they weren't slaves, but they were. I sold my soul to the company store, those coal miners. We all understand that was a form of slavery as well. Mm-hmm. And I can remember my own mother, Michael, who was born in 1924. I can remember her telling us stories that she had 7 siblings, 6 siblings, and that every summer they were all farmed out. They always got to go on vacations during the summer to go live with somebody and work on the farm. And she didn't mm-hmm. realize till she got older that they were chattel, that they were being farmed out because mom and dad could not afford to take care of them. These were white mm-hmm. people living right here in Perry County, mm-hmm. Ohio. So the idea mm-hmm. that blacks were the only ones that were oppressed is hogwash, folks. It's hogwash. Now, Michael, help us out here in the next 7 minutes. What are we supposed to do? Paleface me, who loves Jesus Christ, who only wants to see what's good for all people. How do I bridge that gap to my, I don't even want to use the term black brothers and sisters. How do we bridge that gap, Michael? We don't even know where to begin. We don't even know what we're supposed to say.
But that's a lie. That's the bastardization of Scripture. Dave, tell me what the Bible says. My wife and I spent the month of October last year traveling through the western United States. We were in Montana and Wyoming and Utah, then Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado, and we were just bumming. My wife and I, we were in the car. I put 4 boxes of cigars in and had to buy 2 more. But we just drove. My wife loves to ride. I love to drive. And we bummed around from Pennsylvania to California, from California back. And it was funny. We were on our way back. And she said, what day is it? And I said, I don't know. And we had to stop and think. But everywhere we went, we made friends and contacts and we spoke. And we just got along. And I know that Rodney King expression came into play, but we got along
because I'm not a color. I didn't project myself as a color. I projected myself as a man. And with that, a Christian who is a man, and with that, a Christian man who is an ordained minister, who advocates for a colorblind society, but I projected a Christ-like opinion. Look, when a person thinks of me, I'm not accountable for unless I've injured them. How I think of myself is important before Christ. If I think of myself as more than I should, or if I think of myself as special because of melanin, well, then I'm wrong. What do you do, Dave? What you do is stop focusing on it. In Christ, we are free. I know that sounds like, holy cow, it can't be done. But I tell you, it can be done. Because I go wherever I want. And the only place I've ever been threatened because of my skin color, except in some of the gangbanging neighborhoods, the only place I've ever been threatened was Perry or Perryville, Ohio. Some idiot with at a hotel I went to stay at, and he was nuts. But that's one person. That's not a whole people. That's one person. And what I realized very, very early is that if I have self-respect, if I treat others like I want to be treated, everything else falls in the line. This idea that, it's biblical. We talk about the word of God, but we do not read the word. We do not ingest and live the word of God. We simply talk about it. We proof text it, but we don't take it to heart. When we take the word of God to heart, and my church, it's just so special because we don't engage it. None of that exists within our church family. It doesn't exist. And the people, my church brothers and sisters, my Christian brothers and sisters in the church, we laugh, we talk, we make fun of this one or that one in a joking way, because the demons of hell are worthy of scorn and mockery. So we make fun, we have a good time, but I'm not subject, Dave. I remember when we went when a friend took me to West Virginia, my first time in West Virginia. I wish I could remember the town, but I was stunned. I was stunned at the level of poverty, abject poverty, not make believe. I'm not talking cable TV and a full refrigerator and a 10-year-old car in a driveway. I'm talking about poverty, third world poverty. And I remember looking at the eyes of this one little girl, and this little girl's eyes were so dead. There was no life in them. And I looked and I said, holy cow, how do people live this way? And how did it happen? And then I started to find out about coal mines and so forth. But the point that I make is that when we remove melanin from the conversation, we have people who are suffering across the board, and we have people who are successful across the board. We are Christians. We are called to a higher standard of living and understanding before God. And with that, we are not victims. We are triumphant in Christ. We're not fearful. God didn't Christ. We weren't given a spirit of fear. So we don't look on with hate. What these people are doing, they're doing to themselves. I look on with disgust, but I don't look on with hate. I look on with disgust. I look on with pity because they're not free. They're bound. Even those that say, I don't believe it, they they still identify in a way that is inferior.
Amen. Michael hyphen Massey.com. M-Y-C-H-A-L. Michael hyphen. Yes, sir. Michael M-Y-C-H-A-L hyphen Massey. M-A-S-S-I-E.com. Michael, we've got to let you go. Appreciate it. Hang in there with us after we hang up here, brother. Appreciate the time together. And
have your people reach out to me on my website at any time. I'd love to talk to them more.
Okay. God bless you, Michael. Thanks, folks.
Sure,
see you, my friend. See you tomorrow. Hang in there. Bye-bye.